This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I have a good friend who is a fellow pastor. About 10 years ago, his 16-year-old daughter, whom he loved dearly, was killed instantly in a car accident. During the funeral for his daughter, one of his fellow pastors came up to him, and with tears in his eyes, this pastor said to my friend, "Don't forget Romans 8:28. So what is Romans 8:28? Well, it's the first verse of today's reading. Listen to it again. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." My pastor friend, whose daughter was killed, told me that when his friend shared that Bible verse with him, it didn't bring him much comfort. Does that shock you? Oh, don't get me wrong. My pastor friend truly did believe this passage. But the truth of this scripture passage didn't change how he felt. He wanted his daughter back. He missed her greatly. He couldn't comprehend how or why God was going to work out his teenage daughter's death for good. But as my friend told me, that's where faith comes in. Faith in God's promises. You see, faith trusts God's promises even though our reason and our feelings tell us that we shouldn't trust God. You see, when we face trials, pain, and loss in this life, our reason tells us that either God has abandoned us or He must hate us. When we face trials, pain, and loss in this life, our feelings tell us that we're hurting. And as you know, that hurt doesn't go away just because somebody quotes to us Romans 8:28. But you see, the Holy Spirit moves us to trust God's word in spite of how we reason and in spite of how we feel. The Holy Spirit moves you to trust that God works in all things for your good, even though you cannot grasp that truth either rationally or emotionally. The Apostle Paul wrote the words of Romans 8:28 to fellow Christians who were suffering greatly because of their faith in Christ. Imagine that. Suffering because you're trying to live for Jesus. Now their reason was telling them that God had abandoned them, or maybe He was even punishing them. What did their feelings tell them? Their feelings told them that they were scared, that they were anxious, that they were depressed. But in the midst of their reason that led them to question God's love for them, in the midst of their feelings that overwhelmed them with fear and anxiety and depression, in the midst of all of this, they trusted God's promise that He will work in all things for our good. Of course, when we consider texts like this, we can't help but ask ourselves, why do we Christians have to suffer at all? As a parent, I usually do whatever I can to alleviate suffering in my children's lives. I know you're the same way. If you see your child suffering and you can do something to alleviate the pain, you'll do it. And so we wonder, if we are God's children, why does He allow us to suffer? Well, if we examine Scripture We discover that we Christians suffer for three reasons in this world. First of all, sometimes we suffer because of sinful choices we have made. You see, even though we are Christians who want to live for God, we still have a sinful nature. And so if you're like me, sometimes that sinful nature has its way, and we sin. And when we sin, there are consequences in this life. In fact, one way God shows His mercy is that very often He doesn't allow us to suffer the consequences we probably should suffer for many of the sinful choices we've made. But sometimes God does allow us to suffer the consequences for our sinful choices. Why? The same reason a good parent allows his or her children to suffer the consequences of their own poor choices. Think about it. If you're constantly rescuing your children from their poor choices, if you never allow them to understand that in the real world there are consequences to our evil actions, if we're constantly delivering them from the consequences that they need to experience, they'll never learn. They'll never learn that, hey, I need to avoid doing this or I'm going to hurt myself and others. Well, in the same way, God, because He loves us, will sometimes allow us to suffer the consequences of our evil choices so that we will finally learn that sin is not good for us, nor is it good for others. It brings pain and suffering. Now, the second reason we Christians suffer in this life is simply because, like everybody else, we live in a broken world twisted by our sin. Suffering is the way of things in this world. Just like the unbelievers of this world have to suffer in various ways, so do we. And it's not because of some sinful choice we've made. It's just the fact that in this world we can expect sooner or later, one way or another, we're going to suffer. And God allows this to remind us that this world is not our home. He does this to remind us that this world is broken by sin so that we will turn to Jesus as our deliverer from that tragedy. Finally, the third reason we Christians suffer, and this relates to our text today from Romans, is that we may suffer specifically because we are striving to live for Jesus. Throughout the history of the world, at various times and places, fellow Christians have had to suffer for their faith in Christ. As I've mentioned before, it's hard for us to understand that here in America because we have freedom to worship. We have a hard time comprehending what it would be like to risk our job and our home and maybe even our life just to come to church on Sunday morning. But the reality is that sometimes we Christians may have to suffer persecution because we're standing up for Jesus in this world. Now, with all that said, we need to realize that in the midst of your suffering, Paul assures you that God will work in all things for your good because you have been called according to His purpose. Now, what does that mean? Well, to be called according to God's purpose means that your salvation was not an afterthought or some random decision on God's part. In other words, God didn't say to Himself, "Well, I wonder what I'll do today. Oh, I know. I think I'll save so-and-so." No. Scripture teaches that God had your salvation planned before you were even born. Listen again to what Paul writes about you. He says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. And those He predestined, He also called. Those those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. You know, that reminds me of what Paul writes in another letter, his letter to the Ephesian Christians. Listen to what he says. God chose us in our Lord Jesus Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Did you hear that? Those two scriptures from Romans and Ephesians are teaching us that God had your salvation planned before the creation of the world. Therefore, it is no accident that you were baptized. It is no accident that you were raised in the faith. It is no accident that you are here today hearing God's word. God planned for your salvation so that you could spend eternity in his love. And do you know what that means? Nothing that happens to you in this life is outside of God's will. Nothing that happens to you in this life can separate you from God's loving plan. We need to remember that, because when bad things happen to us, the devil wants us to think that either God doesn't care about us, or worse yet, he's not in control. But the fact is, my friends, God does care about you. He loves you more deeply than you can possibly imagine. Also, God is always in control. He is in control even when we face suffering, pain, persecution, or even death. Several weeks ago, I preached on Romans chapter 5, and we heard these words. We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. My friends, our reason can't comprehend why God allows us to suffer. And when we do suffer, we also experience feelings of fear and anger and despair. But in the midst of our confused thinking, in the midst of our overwhelming emotions, the Holy Spirit gives us faith to trust that God will work in all things for our good, because he had our salvation planned before the creation of the world. In today's reading, Paul writes, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" So when the devil tempts you to doubt God's love for you, all you have to do to know that God cares for you, all you have to do to know that God loves you, is remember the cross. God was willing to sacrifice his own son for you so that you could be forgiven and live in God's love forever. Therefore, when God allows you to suffer, it's not because he's ignoring you. It's not because he hates you. Strange as it may seem to us, when God allows you to suffer, it is because it is part of his plan to bless you. In addition, Paul goes on to write that the same Jesus who died for our sins also conquered death for us. Therefore, you can face death itself knowing that death has been defeated. That's why Paul writes these words. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The sword referring to being killed for the sake of Jesus. And how does Paul answer that question? He says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, what does it mean when Paul says that you are more than a conqueror? Well, to help us understand what Paul is trying to teach us, I'd like to draw your attention to the recent Super Bowl. And I'd like to use that to help us understand two ways that we Christians are more than conquerors in Christ. First, we all know that the Packers won the Super Bowl, whether you like that or not. It's up to you. However, the Packers didn't know in advance that they would win. Before the game, they had to face the possibility that they could lose. But we Christians have a different victory. We Christians are more than conquerors because we know that Christ has already given us the victory. You know what that means? It means we can play the game of life and know that we've already won. We can face the bumps and the bruises and the tackles knowing that the game is already ours. Now here's the second thing it means to be more than conquerors. You see, even though the Packers won the Super Bowl, their victory celebration won't last forever. Next season, they're going to have to prove themselves again. And they might not even make it to the Super Bowl, much less win it. I'm afraid that our earthly victories fade away, and eventually we face defeat. But we Christians are more than conquerors because we know our victory will never fade away. We don't have to prove ourselves again because Jesus died once and for all to give us the victory. We can look forward to celebrating Christ's victory for all eternity. And we will never, ever, ever face defeat. In closing, we must remember that when we suffer because of our sins, or when we suffer simply because we live in a sinful world, or when we suffer because we're being persecuted for our faith in Jesus, whatever the reason for our suffering, during such times, the devil is going to tempt us to doubt God's love and reject Christ. But God doesn't want that for you because he planned for your salvation before the creation of the world. Therefore, my friends, when God does allow you to suffer for whatever the reason, remember his promises found at the beginning and the ending of today's reading. Let me share that with you again. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.